On Orthodox Easter Sunday, a week after Silky had been attacked in Mount Druitt, Claire Corbett and I were sitting in a comfortable private room in a clinic on First Svetskaya Yamskaya Street, Moscow, with Quentin, Ninelle and Smit. Quentin was propped up in bed on plump ice-white pillows surrounded by a vast banquet breakfast of Russian Easter food that was crowded onto the cheerful daisy quilt and lacy side tables. Smit had pressed much Russian currency into Ninelle's hands and sent her out to buy the feast. She seemed to have purchased at least some of it from a nearby church, as the white iced kulik, sweetened bread, had just been consecrated to be eaten before the rest of the food. I remembered that the Russian church was often indistinguishable from the intelligence services and wondered again who her contacts were. I also reminded myself, as Claire did sometimes, that these intelligence services should be considered the FSB and SRV and not the old Soviet KGB. Nothing much else seemed to have changed in the church, though. Claire liked the peaceful energy she acquired from eating consecrated food. She would occasionally nip up and receive the Eucharist wafer from a friendly priest with a sense of humour in Mount Druitt, and we were soon all munching the kulik reverentially. It had a lighter, succulent, but less doughy texture than I expected. I told Claire, even if she is a strict connoisseur of Western suburb sponge cakes, I think your mother would approve of this. Claire said, I approve of it, pushing some more into her mouth while crumbling a small amount in her fingers for Corbin. He mimicked her but rolled it around in his lips. Not much went down. These days I carried a damp washcloth in a plastic bag in my pocket, the opposite side from the Glock. When I carried that, I was carrying the Glock this morning. Anywhere near Smit, I carried the Glock. Smit had largely convinced Quentin that the attack on her mother hadn't been ordered by him, but was a false flag ordered by the Kissinger CIA through Andrew, who was now working directly for them. Now again he complained. They want you to leave me. They want you to go home. They want you to think I attacked you, too, at the house. They knew I would be in St. Petersburg. The Viennese lilt was so credible, so reasonable, so martyred. Claire broke off another kulik wedge and smiled. The elf smile. I murmured the Copper Mountains mistress would smile like that, and her smile broadened with more mischief. Quentin had spoken to her mother on her cell phone and seemed to feel at ease enough at present. She swallowed a little kulik obediently and then spooned up some pashka, which was a mountainous rural cheesecake. There were sumptuously stained glass-hued eggs strewn everywhere and piled up pastries delicate with icing sugar. I ate one. It was all rich food, but none of it stolid. Again, I was reminded of a profound bass in an Orthodox church choir, the very heaviness of the voice at once rising ethereally by its own solid substance. I said, no wonder the Russians cling to the Middle East. It's the source of their spiritual being. Both Claire and Smit seemed to understand that I was thinking of the news that Easter weekend about the forming of a Stavka, traditional war cabinet in Moscow. The Russians had understood the significance of Western sanctions, the Skripal false flag, the apparent confinement of Yulia and murder of her pets, and they had predicted the false flag gas incident in Syria that would justify a Western attack. They had returned to centrist government and restricted any control Putin might have over decentralised policy, although they had considered placating him by appointing Moscow Mayor Sobyanin the new Prime Minister, and not someone he thought more a rival. But the situation was all Tolstoy now. Idris was reading the right book at the right time. I was reminded of how in War and Peace General Kutuzov had maintained that battles cannot be planned, you can only respond to them. Idris and Sophie had spent all Orthodox Easter working out how to protect and restore anti-war sites the West was going to hack down. And Assange was already silenced. As Claire said resignedly, it's not appropriate to joke about him now. Quentin had some white icing smeared on her top lip, and Ninelle moistened a napkin in her own mouth, leaned forward and dabbed the icing off. Quentin looked amused but appreciative of the mothering. Spit didn't look as if he minded, and Claire looked fascinated. So Corbin did too. I tried to look like an unsurprised man of the world, as usual. Claire was assembling a huge brown paper doggy bag of sweet things to take to Florence and also to the street dogs and street cats. She said, "I was thinking about the Russians and hunger. Apart from his brother dying, Putin's mother almost starved to death in the Leningrad siege. It's so bad for them that the English story is that the Skripal's pets were just left to starve. I think there is some really deep link between nations that have been hungry and nations that love animals, you know. All animals are so obvious in their hunger."